B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's this tweet from Gary Washburn, who's down there in the Orlando bubble. And Washburn says about the locker room situation for the Celtics right now. Marcus Smart is screaming in the Celtics locker room. There's a bunch of arguing going on. Smart comes out and says, y'all on that BS. Team is imploding. Smart is in the bathroom and they're still screaming coming from the locker room. Look at this tweet, Perk. Smart wasn't the only one yelling. There were definitely items thrown and a lot of yelling after the fact. We don't see anybody challenging each other during the game. They didn't challenge the Miami Heat during the game.
And here it is, man, right? We have sometimes you're going to – if you're a competitor and you care, you love this, right? You're going to have this type of energy in the locker room after a loss. But I'm going to tell you something. I was watching the game. And I seen bad body language from Jason Tatum.
Yep.
And I seen bad body language from Jaylen Brown. But here it is. This is the effect. Once again, this is the effect of them trying to get Kemba going. It trickles down. We got to understand. Look, the Celtics play mature basketball, and they have experienced a lot of success at a young age. You're talking about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They want the ball in their hands. They have to learn sometimes that it's okay to sacrifice. And what I seen out of those two guys today was bad body language on the court all throughout the game.
All right, so again, more on the lead story from last night's latest Celtics collapse here on Agenda Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. NBC Sports Boston postgame show that's the incomparable Kendrick Perkins. He thinks it starts with Brown and Tatum. Gasper thinks it starts with Marcus Smart. You know, whatever the case may be, it is gross to think that this is the issue with the team. It's not talent. It's not that they don't have the talent to beat the Heat. It's that they still can't find their roles, or they still can't subjugate themselves, or they still can't play together or trust each other, if not like each other. You don't need to like each other, but you need to trust each other to pass them the ball or stay together on defense or these sort of things. That sort of intangible, which we thought had been nipped in the bud when the wart was lanced with Kyrie Irving, the boil was lanced off the ass, and Kyrie Irving left you. You thought that that was done, and it turns out it's still the same issue. It's still the same issue. They still don't know who's who or what's what. And that's annoying to lose on something like that.
I mean, to me, I include Smart because I think they're all sort of in the same, you know, generation, for lack of a better term. They're all, you know, the core around whom the team was being built. And so I look at it now and say, well, who are you going to blame now? Who are you going to blame now? Kyrie's gone. Horford left. So who are they going to blame? This one's on them. They were part of the problem when Kyrie was here. Now, again, we can debate percentages and everything else, but this whole idea of, like, you come into the league and you automatically get this respect and you automatically start collecting rings, which Jaylen Brown was telling, what's her name? Taylor Rooks.
Taylor Rooks, yeah.
Like, that's just asinine. You're not entitled to anything. You work your way up. You go from there. So now they have no one to blame. It's on them. It's on the players, absolutely.
Yeah, they're in this spot because of bitchiness and infighting. It's just so disappointing. I thought they were so much better than this. I thought they had rid themselves of this, and apparently that they haven't. It's so frustrating. To watch these games, these first two games of the series, it's awful. Because they are more talented, but I guess talent only gets you so far because Miami's a better team.
Well, they're playing better. Meanwhile, on the other side, their star, their number one, took the fewest amount of shots of any starter.
Of the top six.
So he was, in terms of shot attempts, Jimmy Butler was sixth on the Heat last night. Do you think he gives one rat's ass about the shots or his, like, anything like that?
Nope.
So there's the difference, right? The Celtics have a game and, you know, this guy's worrying about his touches. Jaylen Brown not getting his touches, or Marcus Smart not, or Kemba Walker not getting as many opportunities, and this guy playing hero ball and that. And meanwhile, their number one doesn't care if he takes the most shots or the sixth or the seventh or doesn't take a single one. He doesn't care, and it permeates the whole team. You know, Duncan Robinson, you know, got the opportunities last night in that game for the most part. You think, you know, Dragic went into the locker room at halftime and said, hey, where are my touches? It's my team. But yet you're still in that place? Ugh. Ugh, that sucks.
So here's the good news, if you want the good news. Jimmy Butler's 31. He's been all NBA, I think, three times. He's been to all-star games. He's been all defensive. And so he got to the point where he said, I've done all that stuff. I don't have a title, so now I'm ready to give. I'm ready to sacrifice. And it happens a lot in that league with guys as they get older. So your hope should be that that's what this is all part of. But as you pointed out, what if it's not?
What if it's not? You better, as I said before, you better hope it's they're not ready. Because not ready implies that they will be. That they're just going through the growing pains and developing into learning what it takes. But that ultimately they'll learn what it takes and they'll cross that threshold. And that's the good news. That would be the best way to look at this. The other way to look at it would be that they're just a-holes.
Right. And that's what I'm starting to believe because, you know, so you, if you try to attribute it to maturity, they're not there yet. And Jason Tatum's only 22. But Tatum and Brown are now technically young veterans. They've had deep playoff experience. They've had these moments. This shouldn't be happening. This is the time.
What if they never get it?
Oh,
I mean, there's and the league is littered with guys who never got it.
Correct.
Talented guys that just never got it.
Or couldn't put their egos aside for the betterment of the team.
And so it turns out you're not that much different than the 76ers when it comes to just bitchiness and that whole thing. Oh, God.
Ugh. I mean, look, again, I look at the Oklahoma City Thunder on that one. They had Westbrook, they had Harden, Westbrook, and Durant on the same team. Harden, Westbrook, and Durant. And now Harden was the first to go. But then Westbrook and Durant, that one broke down too.
Couldn't make it work. You said you listened to Max last night on the pregame show, actually, that something that caught your
eye? Yeah, so look, Max was talking to Grandy about the whole dynamic on the team, and he just made the comment of how Larry Bird arrived in Boston. Cedric Maxwell was a good player in the league at that point, and he came to the realization that he was now going to have to be the number two. That was just it. And you have to accept that, you know what, this isn't a bad thing because you can also ride on that guy's coattails. And I think whether that's Marcus Smart or whether that's Jaylen Brown, because Tatum was the last one here. So, and Tatum's the most talented of the three. Can the other two guys admit that? Are they willing to accept it? And to me, it doesn't feel like they are. So I think that there's just a disconnect there in that core. There's a disconnect with those three guys, and they got to figure it out. The other thing that, look, the Celtics could clearly use a veteran guy who has won, who they can respect. Kyrie wasn't that. So somebody who has won that they can look at and go, this guy's got his priorities right. Sometimes I think that the management of the team and the coach of the team are idealistic when it comes to how it's going to work. They sit there and they say, well, no, you know, you have to have a different leader every night. And this is, you know, this is how it works. It's no, not in that league. Usually in the locker room, your leader has to be one player and everybody else falls in line behind him.
Meanwhile, they've clearly tuned out the coach, which you could say is not a big deal because everyone tunes out the coach in the NBA, which is, I get, but it's happened. I mean, their third quarters continue to suck. They have these, they go into the halftime, they go into the locker room at halftime. Stevens obviously gives them a coach and points of emphasis to come out in the second half. And then invariably, almost every game, they get absolutely, they get porked in the third quarter. So are they just not listening or like they intentionally like just tuning them out? It's like, that's a warning sign. You know, never mind just the way Gary Washburn described the scene. He says, so this is what implosion looks like in person. Screaming in the locker room by multiple parties, items sounding like chairs being thrown, a voice that sounds like Brad Stevens screaming for his players to calm down, a shirtless Marcus Smart walking to the bathroom, telling his teammates, y'all on that BS. So that just that image of Stevens in the middle of it all screaming for everyone to calm down and everyone's still screaming at each other and throwing chairs. Like, what does that sound like?
Remain calm, everybody. Now's not the time.
Like Animal House.
Yeah.
It's like, seriously, like just that image of he's like, guys, let's get it together. Meanwhile, they're MF each other and having to be pulled apart and chairs are getting chucked across the locker room and no one's listening to the coach in the middle of the room. And I think that's what's going on. So I think they've tuned out the coach. Which, again, happens to every NBA coach at some point in time. So that's I'm not telling you that it's a fireball offense or even it's even that dramatic of a problem because who listens to the coaches in the NBA? It's all about the players. But it's happened. It's happened. All right, before we go back to your phones on this, I just want to give one word in 1 minute here, 60 seconds to Gary Washburn and the Boston Globe. I want to congratulate them and sort of say they've done a great job, and especially Washburn. You know, he's quarantined like everybody else there. All these players complaining about that bubble and this and that. Well, these guys get their families in. From what I know, the media doesn't get their families in there. So I think Washburn's been there for whatever, 2 months on his own, in the bubble, quarantined.
Yeah, Gasper and I talked to him during the Celtics show once. It sounds like hell. He's been there since day one, and he doesn't have all the kind of food and access that the players do.
And last night's the payoff. Last night's the payoff. He's there to hear this stuff. And if we didn't have Gary Washburn there, I don't know if we get all this stuff. I know there was another ESPN reporter who I guess was outside the locker room who heard some of the stuff. I can't remember what her name was. But she's not going to present it or have the background that Washburn's going to have or have the sources with the Celtics that Washburn's going to have. Do you know how valuable it is that we have Washburn there? I mean, what a story he gave us last night.
Oh, sure.
Huge.
Oh, yeah, he was tweeting like crazy while it was going on.
Huge. So not just that, I think he's become one of the most valuable writers in town. He calls out players on that team. I think he tells it like it is. He's willing to call. I mean, even doing this might be a little bit risky. Next time he walks into the locker room, are those guys going to look at him and go, yo, you're going to tell everybody right. everything that we're saying here? Like, you're not one of us. Like,
thought you had our backs.
But I don't think, from what I understand, right, I think he's willing to call guys out. He's willing to criticize the team when it's willing to be criticized. We read him all the time for this reason. And good job by the Globe sending him there, paying for it, embedding him there. Great job by him for putting up with all that, you know, the adversity of being quarantined away from whoever he's got at home. I don't know his family situation, but he's got people. He's been away from them for now 2 months, and last night's the payoff. Last night's the payoff. And for all you kids, I'm going to turn this to a little bit of a soapbox. For all you kids who get most of your stuff from some other kid sitting on his couch with his phone on Twitter, this is why we have reporters. This is why reporters are different than some jackass with a Twitter account or some kid with a blog just blogging from his couch.
I got it from BuzzFeed.
Yeah, this is why we have journalists and journalism school, and this is why that's important. What Washburn has been doing down there and that reporting. Do you see it now? It's different than just another jackass on YouTube posting a clip. Do you get the difference? And I think we've seen it all, but I think, you know, we read Washburn all the time on the Celtics. And because I think he's, you know, I feel like he's a really good independent voice on them. He's willing to call him out and he's willing to put his neck out with this, where maybe the players look at him and go, we thought you had our back. No, it doesn't work that way. But either way, there's some good reporting going on there with Washburn. I wanted to say that.
Yeah, look, I mean, and whenever you're reporting about something that's going on behind a closed door, that area can get a little gray. Like, you know, the players, well, some of those guys in there will be pissed that it was written about.
But yes, this is a defense of the media. This is why you need the media, those kind of media, not us kind of media, whatever. We're just gossip hounds. But the real media, the reporters, newspapers, TV stations, Gasper, radio stations with reporters, that you need that. We need that. This is an example of it. All right, I promise, to your phones right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger Mass. Okay, when you call and say 2 things, 3 things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep 2 or 3 things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kemba, offensive end, steps to his right, finds Tice. Tice puts in the hands of Tatum. Tatum into the corner, Jaylen Brown for the tie. No good, rebound, Tice keeps it alive, but Adebayo comes down with it. Celtics have to foul. Jaylen gives it with 10.6 to go, and now the Celtics will have to foul again. Jaylen had the look.
I mean, you take that one all day, but me tell you, you have not seen Jason Tatum in this game. And this is what we talk about when primetime players step up, and Jimmy Butler has been that guy stepping up and making those plays.
Smart will trigger the inbound. Lobs it. They go for a quick lob. It's deflected. Jay Crowder comes up with it, and Miami will walk away with game two. Adebayo into the front court. Marcus Smart comes over to give a foul, but there's no reason to, because the Miami Heat wrestle game two. Momentum and full control of the Eastern Conference Finals away from the Celtics tonight. They come from 14 down to win game one. They come from 17 down to win game two. And for everything the Celtics have done to get to this point, they're going to have to reinvent the game plan to get back in this series. The Miami Heat are 10-1 in the playoffs, and they are two games away from the NBA Finals. The final score in game two, Miami 106, Boston 101.
That's how it ended last night here on 98.5 The Sports Up. Game three tomorrow. Again, back on the network. We promised phones. Here we go. Zach in Milford. What do you think, Zach? They have a shot?
I don't know. I don't know what's more embarrassing, guys. 14-point fourth quarter lead blown, 17-point lead blown last night. Getting absolutely stifled by a JV level 2-3 zone, or getting outshot by a freaking Williams College alum. This is awful, guys. So here's to hoping we have a better weekend. Go Celtics, go Pats, and let's see if we can get more action than Jimmy Butler's espresso machine.
Okay. Go Pats, go Celts. That's good.
Yeah.
Matt in the car. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Salga. Hey, Naz. Fellas, I'm no longer in the car. I'm actually nursing a bad case of the Bud Light flu thanks to these choke artists for the second game in a row. And I apologize in advance. I promise I won't swear, but I will be raising my voice a little bit. I think a big blame has to go towards Bradley G. Williker Stevens. Game one, game on the line. We have the final shot, tie game in the bonus, and you drop a play to have Kemba run the clock all the way down, and then have Tatum take a contested deep three instead of taking it to the rim.
So let me stop you. Do you think that that was Stevens' play call?
No. I mean, so again, play it out. Think about it. If that was Stevens' play call, why'd everyone get mad at Tatum? Right? Like,
no,
you know.
They're not listening to him.
They're not listening to him.
No, they're not. They're not. But again, but the player, it's a player's league. It's a player's league. You know, the famous stories. You think Michael Jordan listened to Phil Jackson all the time? No way.
He did at points, but I mean, yeah,
not about basketball.
No, right. I mean, again, when it came time to make the play on the floor, Jordan's like, just give me the ball and shut the hell up.
So if you want
everybody
get
out of the way.
You want to get on Stevens for something, I don't think he's much of a leader of men. I think he's proven that now straight years, and they don't respect him.
But it's hard for a coach in that league to do it, especially if he hasn't won. So, like, what he's going to go to them, and aside from being the coach, what are his credentials? What's he won?
No, nothing.
So, now again, you get all these young guys. So, it is. But again, I'm telling you, it's not the coach. I'm not telling you he's not worth second guessing. He is. There were some things that happened in that last night. You mentioned the alley-oops. Like,
at some point, can you stop that one and make him beat you a different way?
Seriously. Like, or just change personnel, do something.
The Bam Adebayo dunk contest.
Holy crap.
One after the next.
So, and there have been lots of occasions. Again, there was a challenge a couple games ago. What the hell are you doing there?
He actually won a challenge last night, though. Yay. He did. He finally got one right.
But at the end of the day, it's a players league. It's on the players. It's about the best players in that league. That's what the whole thing's about.
Steven Taunton, you agree with that?
Hey, guys. What's going on? After listening to you guys, I kind of like fall in your range here, but I'll tell you, blowing two double-digit leads, some of that blame has to go to Stevens. He does great in the forefront, but he stinks in when the team is under a lot of pressure. And let me tell you something. He should go to Tatum and Brown and tell those guys, if you can't take your, I mean, if you want to compete with the big boys, you need to take your training pants off. He needs to be a little bit more assertive, and he needs to not be so passive. Thanks, guys.
Okay. I don't know how passive he is. I have no idea about that. I do know he does know how to draw up a play. I've seen that a million times. The ATOs, some of the plays that he has come up with over the years, and we've seen a lot of them, are brilliant. Yet when they get into these big spots, they're not running them. So, I mean, I think it's obvious. He has the plays.
Yeah.
He draws them up. They're not listening to him. They're not following him. And so do I blame him for that, or do I blame them for that? But either way,
it's not working.
That's right. Yeah. So forgive me, because I was just looking to see during that run that Miami made to get back in the game whether the Celtics had all called the timeout. Like, because I don't remember them trying to stop it. I don't remember Stevens trying to stop it. And so if you want to say, well, call a timeout there, sit them down and say, guys, you want to play or not?
At some point, Tice went off, and I think Cantor came back on, and he gave up an alley-oop dunk and won. I think he fouled him, too. Right? Didn't that happen?
Yeah, and that's the danger of playing Cantor, though. That sort of goes with the territory with him.
All I'm saying is, I mean, I think you've said it a couple different times. Like, we're not going to play the pick and roll. You're going to play under it and give them the jump shot.
Right.
And let's see if they can beat us with the jump shot versus the dunk.
Well, right.
Let's just try something else for at least for a couple trips down the floor.
Let's see if they can actually make a lower percentage shot than a dunk.
I mean, my God. Tim in Rhode Island. Hi, Tim. Go ahead. Tim?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you got to be quicker on the draw than that. Cam in Taunton. I know he's quick on the draw. What do you got, Cam?
Well, you guys have said it many times. In the NBA, the best player, the team takes on his personality. Let's compare, shall we? When the shutdown began, Jason Tatum, I don't have a hoop. I can't shoot. There's nothing I can do. Jimmy Butler bought every single member of the Heat player a hoop so they could shoot while they were in the shutdown.
Is that true?
The first day. Yes, he did. The first day that they were in quarantine, there was a noise complaint in the hotel. They went in and checked on it. It was Butler working out in his room, drenched in sweat, dribbling a ball in his room. Tatum, I don't know if I want to go. I don't want to be away from my son. I don't know if I want to go. Look, Tatum, for as talented as he is a prima donna. He's a prima donna entitled brat.
Okay, so true. I mean, that last part's a little strong. You know, hopefully he's just, you know, immature, and he matures into a champion. Again, if he never matures, this is just what he is, and then you're in deep, deep trouble. But the whole thing about the tone setting is, I think, absolutely true. And the one I brought up a couple different times, I just want to circle back to it because I'll make it the email of the day, is this thing about the families. And it was important to the Celtics. And Stevens sort of led the way on this. I think it was for his staff. You know, the players could have their families come in, and maybe head coaches could have their families come in, but assistants and lower-level staff couldn't. And I think Stevens went to bat for those guys. But still, it was on their radar. Our families. Who's allowed in the bubble? Who's not allowed in the bubble? I mean, how much camera time has Deuce gotten, right? About like, oh, get it. He's got a cute kid. Got it, you know. But the families. Meanwhile, Jimmy Butler has told his family to stay home.
And I didn't know this thing about buying the hoops for his teammates. So, yeah, I found this Yahoo Sports back in, wherever this was, April. In the case of the Miami Heat, only Goran Dragic had a basket at his house. So Jimmy Butler sent all his Heat teammates baskets, according to the Miami Herald. But Butler decided enough was enough and bought himself a basketball hoop as well for his home in San Diego. Now that's a guy that gets it. He is a lunatic.
All business. So anyway, so the Butler's like, I don't even, you know, my family's not even coming. So how's that juxtaposition? Meanwhile, again, I keep hearing on the NBC Sports Boston Post game last night, Scal just making these allusions to, you know, who knows? I don't get the bubble. I just don't understand the bubble. The families are there. Maybe that's having an impact on the Celtics. And he brought it up a couple of three times about the families being in the bubble. And is there something there that's, you know, distracted the Celtics players? And, you know, I just wonder if that's the case. Like, you know, you come off the floor after a loss and the wife says, how come you don't get the ball? How come you're not getting that shot? Why is he getting that shot? You start getting chirped by your mom and your wife, and this sort of happens. And is that helping to the Celtics? So I do wonder about all that, which led to this email, the email of the day.
It's the Moncast email of the day.
Dear Felga, I really hate you. Is a boob.
The Mimecast email of the day.
Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email of the day is protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast.com. That's Mime, M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Subject line, sexist bullcrap, except she spells the whole thing out. Sexist BS, says Kelly. The wives aren't to blame, Felger. The men own their playing lapses. Grow up. To which I would say, Kelly, fair enough. We do tend to get around amongst each other and blame the wives. This is true. Fair enough. I'll tip my cap to that. But let's be honest now, Kelly. When you get together with your girlfriends and you all sit around, what do you do?
You bitch about the husbands.
You bitch about the husbands and you blame us.
Rightfully so.
And I would say you have a better case than we do, but let's be honest now. It's the slow moving target. It's the easy out. And so, yeah, of course, blame the wife. Yep, blame the husband. But maybe that is what I do wonder about that with the Celtics. And it is the juxtapositions between the way Butler's carrying himself and the Celtics are carrying themselves. It is. It translates to the floor.
Yeah, I'm not giving him the out of just that, though. I'm sorry. Once the game starts, there's a certain way to play. And, like, you know, and everybody knows what the right way is. And even if you are getting someone chirping in your ear, well, that's where you say, yeah, but that's the wrong way to play. That's the wrong way to play. The right way to play is to play as a group. That's the right way. That's how we win. And they're not getting it. And maybe they're too dumb or maybe they're just too young. Right? I hope it's the latter thing.
Right.
You know, because if it is the first thing, then that's a problem that probably can't be solved.
Okay, one more segment of your wonderful phone calls after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mast.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mast.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Russell Wilson, you just touched on him a little bit. In what way does his skill set stress a defense?
Well, yeah, everything. I mean, this guy's a tremendous player. Honestly, I think he's, you know, in a way maybe underrated by the media or the fans. I don't know. But, I mean, I don't really see anybody better than this player. He can do everything. He's got, obviously, great leadership, playmaking skills. He plays very well in the most critical situations in the game with his decision-making, running, passing. His passing numbers are extraordinary. You put him up against anybody since he's been in the league, literally anybody, in almost any category, or in any category, really. You know, his winning percentage is impressive. He's there for every game, never missed a game. You know, he's got a great ability to do the right thing at the right time. He has tremendous vision and sees the field extremely well. I don't think there's a better deep ball passer in the league in terms of decision making and accuracy. He attacks literally every inch of the field you have to defend with him. The deep balls, the sidelines, his scrambles, you know, his ability to get the ball to his playmakers and in space. And then, you know, you have to try to tackle him, which that's very difficult too. You know, Lockett, you know, has led the league in all-purpose yards. Russ has got 44,000 yards rushing, 30,000 yards passing. Lockett's, you know, been a go-to guy for him in all phases of the game, return game and offensively. Metcalf, now they got Olsen, you know, Carson's probably runs as hard as anybody in the league. So, I mean, there are a lot of weapons there, and I could go on and on. Offensive line, Brown. I mean, they have a lot of good players that are hard to handle when you put them all together, and it's orchestrated by Wilson. It's they're very, very hard to handle.
Quick Seahawks thought before we go back to the phones. They are playing the second-best player in the league.
I think so, too, yeah.
And they're playing a team. This is where I think Wilson and the Seahawks are different than Mahomes and the Chiefs. Mahomes is surrounded by some badasses. Like, that's a talented offense, for sure, between Kelsey and Hill and, you know, whatever, and a great offensive coach. So it's like, that's the real deal, the full deal there in Kansas City. Best quarterback surrounded by great stuff. Seattle is truly all Russell Wilson. And you watch it more than I do, Maz, so maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but just the Seahawks games that I watch, it's all freaking him. I mean, they don't have much of a running game anymore. Their offensive line blows. What I very rarely see when I watch the Seahawks is Russell Wilson go back on his third step, fifth step, first read, ball out, receiver open, play made. What I usually see is he goes back, guy's not open, he starts running around sideways, finds somebody, and there's a big play. And DK Metcalf is a nice player. We wish N'Keal Harry was him. But what is he really? And what is Lockett really? I mean, is he a premium talent? Is he like...
He's good.
But he's not like...
No, he's not great.
He's not Tyreek Hill.
No, but he's good. And I see. I think the receiving corps, I think they're starting to build it around him a little bit. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Because Lockett is a good player. He's not great, but he's good. Now they've added Metcalf. They brought in Olsen. Like, it feels to me like they're starting to give him something.
Yeah, but
they've
also kicked the tires on Antonio Brown, reportedly. They're bringing Josh Gordon back. Like, it's still not great there.
No, that's right.
Okay, so the defense isn't the same. It's not. They don't win on defense anymore. In fact, how many points did they give up last week to a horrible
30,
Atlanta
team?
And I looked, they couldn't get off the field apparently on third down, too. It was like Atlanta was 7-14.
The defense blows. Marshawn Lynch in the running game is no longer a factor. The
Correct.
Offensive line has always sucked. The receivers are nice developing, but again, not what you have in Kansas City. Don't tell me Bev is still Bev is still the offensive coordinator.
No, I think it's Ken Norton Jr.
The offensive coordinator?
Defense, yeah. No, it's a Schottenheimer. It's that boob Schottenheimer.
Brian Schottenheimer?
He used to be with the Jets, yeah.
So this is what I'm saying. Like, I feel like the Seahawks are just Russell Wilson. Pete Carroll's good head coach-ish, but doesn't have anything to do with the offense. Brian Schottenheimer's the offensive coordinator? It's all Russell Wilson. It's all Wilson. Anyway, the last Seahawks game I watched, the playoff game in Green Bay last year, it was all just Wilson on broken plays, off-platform plays, making something happen. Every play they made was something like that.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, he is the whole operation, pretty much.
So
I think they're just starting to put a couple pieces around him. But put it this way, put him in Kansas City. Are they any different, really, the Chiefs?
No, I think Wilson can do 90% of what Mahomes does.
Yeah, maybe even 100%. Mm. I mean,
he's a little short and... So I think that size would get in the way versus Mahomes. I mean, what you're saying, he's just the same player as Mahomes is?
I'm saying he might be. Yeah, he might be.
I mean, Bill.
He tends to start slow, I feel like. When they've had primetime games on him, when I've watched him at times, like he'll struggle for the first half, and then he'll just completely go off in the second half.
So I mean, Mahomes is 6'3". I didn't realize he was quite that big.
And is Wilson 5'10"?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You know, I think that shows up somewhere. I mean...
5'11", yeah.
Believe me, Wilson, I'll take Wilson any day of the week, twice on Sunday. I think he's a brilliant player. I think he's a winner. Like, I love him. I think he's great. I think Mahomes is the best in the league. And I think what Mahomes doesn't have to experience is bozo coaching, no offensive line, and, you know, I guess Casey has a bad defense too. But in Seattle, it really is the Russell Wilson show. But I'll just, you know, the Sunday night game should be fun. National TV, I said this yesterday, the Patriots can go out there and win that game. Watch out. All aboard the Patriots hype train. Cam Newton, 2-0. Bill Belichick, 2-0 without Tom Brady. They've just done it on national TV against a good opponent as, you know, pretty solid dogs. I think they're -4.5. That would be a big win and really get the ball rolling on the Patriots and the hype train. And I do think Newton's going to throw. He's going to have to throw. And if you win that way, ooh, look out. So there's just a little Patriots thought for you. A couple calls here before we hit the final word. Steve in Boston on the Stanley Cup Final. What are your thoughts, Steve?
Hey, guys, I know everything else is going on and it's on people's minds, but I just want to keep in mind that the Bruins, I think, are skating under the radar.
What's your thought on the Stanley Cup Final?
Well, I had Dallas from the beginning coming out of the West. So
did you?
I'm fine with that, yeah.
I'm just going to cut you off. I wanted a clearer take. Stanley Cup Final. What stands out to me, can I just give you my take, is that Tyler Seguin. And I've given the Bruins a pass on moving on from him because he hasn't won a damn thing. And until he does, I'm going to say they were right to move on from him. The return was ridiculously horrible. Like, Chiarelli did a horrible job not getting back first-round picks or viable pieces. Like, that was a garbage trade. But the analysis that you can't win with Seguin, I think to this point, has been proven right. Now here he is in a Stanley Cup Final. You do understand he's taking a secondary role, though.
Yeah,
I'm just saying this to people. He's ninth on the team in playoff scoring. They played 20 playoff games. He has 2 goals. He's a -2. He still skates on the first line with Ben, and like that's their big line. But it's not like he's putting up huge numbers.
No, Bruins fans should be clearly more annoyed with something else with that Dallas team.
Khudobin.
Yeah.
I never saw him like this. I thought he was a great backup, a good 1A, like Halak, like that kind of guy. But I didn't even think he was as good. I thought Halak was better. I never saw Anton Hudobin as a Stanley Cup winning goalie. Is this another sort of indication, though, that you don't need that Tuukka Rask $7 million a year guy to win a Stanley Cup or get there?
Yes.
I mean, Anton Hudobin, folks.
Yes. Yeah, if you put a good team in front of him, particularly on the back end, and it's a solid performance by the goalie, then you're probably fine. So that's something the Bruins got to look at. I feel like there are big decisions coming there this offseason. When I say big decisions, I mean big moves.
To me, though, the story's the Lightning. The Lightning should win, and they should win decisively. They're the better team. They're the best team in hockey. They've proven it in the bubble. They're better than Dallas. If Tampa can't finish this off, boy, is that an underachievement. Is that a choke by them? Tom in Quincy has a thought. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Mike, since we're doing the how is it going in New England and how's it going in Tampa, yeah. We had this discussion a couple weeks ago, right?
Yep.
I'm curious to see how this weekend plays out. Because I'm confident the Pats are going to play a very competitive game, if not win outright out there, okay? My question is about Tampa, where Brady kind of got ripped by that toolbag Arians down there about, the two picks.
Yeah.
But now Brady's going into this game where Godwin's not playing at all because he's got a concussion. Evans has a hammy because he's lame and weak and soft as a player. My question is it going to be the Scotty Miller show this week with like 15 catches?
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you right now, that kid on that team with that quarterback, it is just gearing up where that kid's going to end up with. Never heard of the kid in my life.
Right, 100 catches. It's the Welker Edelman guy in Tampa. But let me just, on that game, if they start 0-2.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, look out below. Ooh. Look, because, again, it's a losing culture down there. Ooh. And people will start jumping off that ship fast. It's a bigger game for Tampa in a lot of ways than it is for the Patriots. Tampa has to win.
Agreed.
They have a lot more to lose. The Patriots might have more to gain. Tampa's got a lot more to lose.
Okay, we'll give you a reaction to those games Monday. Also, Celtics tomorrow. Game 3 against the Heat. The season. Must win, obviously, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Do we have fresh Fuppets coming up next, Stu? Is that rumor?
We do.
Okay, that rumor has come home. Fresh Fuppets. I'm looking forward to it. Next in the final word.
Dugger has sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nope.
So what could this be on?
I don't know.
Give a hint.
It's the Fuppets?
Yeah. Give a hint.
Usually we get sent the preview. I didn't see nothing.
Do we have a hint, Jimmy? What day?
It's Maz related.
Ooh.
And it's from Monday of this week, and it plays off a rejoin that we played during the week.
Colin J. Crowder, a weapon?
No. Him rapping. What was it? Well, whatever. Let's listen. Go ahead. Watch. Do it.
Nightmarish start from Tom Brady. And then they play a song going to break that, you know, we've all heard, and Murray just raised an interesting point on the bumper music there from Fox.
What you doing, Bob?
It takes two to make it out of
sight. Because
I want to rock right now. I'm rock bassin', I came to get down. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock a microphone. And because I get stupid, I mean outrageous. Stay away from me, it's contagious. No, I'm not a loser. The pain and sleep is what I choose. The ladies love me, girls adore me. I mean, even the ones that never saw me. Like the way that I rhyme in a song.
Okay, I'm done.
So if you're listening, they he had, what was the name of the producer of the
I did pass by.
I can't remember.
Quickly.
So Hardy had the
Robert Guignard, it says.
The songwriter of that song.
Oh, so it's Rob Bass.
Yeah, Rob Bass, yeah. Okay, that guy pulling the cord from us is what that was.
Yeah, just like the old candy cane and, you know, give me the hook.
Easily. Okay, excellent. Thanks again to Hardy and everyone else for putting that together. Do we have anything else here?
It takes two to make a thing go right.
Oh, jeez.
It takes two to make it out of sight.
I believe that was it. Is that it, Jimmy?
What else do you need after that?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.